I appreciate the encouraging song. Thankful that we're on the winning side. May not always look like it. Didn't look like Jesus was on the winning side when he was expiring on the cross, but he did. He won. He won the victory. I want to look at some scriptures in Matthew, the 16th chapter. And I guess we'll start reading at verse 1. It said, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye yet not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." I read this the other day, and it just really sparked some curiosity. Jesus talked about being aware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. But he called it leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And I want to leaven is described in a positive sense in the scripture, and it's also described in a negative sense in the scripture. He mentioned in one place, he said the kingdom of heaven was like leaven, in which it expands, it grows, it influences, and that's a good thing. But in the Lord's Supper, we're not to have leaven in the bread. Leaven, in that sense, represents pride. It represents. There's a lot of different things that it represents. Wickedness, pride, self, the exaltation of self. Those things all represent leaven, and I believe Jesus is warning them, and I thought, well, why is he why is he giving this warning? The disciples were listening to him, not the Pharisees. But it was probably for future reference. It was probably for them to remember in the future when he was gone to beware of the leaven, the doctrine, the teaching. So my mind began to think, what was their thoughts? What did they teach? What was their leaven that Jesus was warning against? Now, they came to him asking for a sign from heaven. I want to mention that. And he mentioned, and I thought about what was wrong with what Jesus was teaching. It said the common people received Jesus, and actually it said the publicans and harlots received Jesus. What was there about his teaching that that turned them away? Why? What did he taught? He taught purity. He taught righteousness. He taught love. He taught loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. Why couldn't we accept, why can't someone accept the teaching on the merits of the teaching? Why do you have to have a sign to give merit to the teaching of love and forgiveness and self-denial? Anyway, I think, the common people heard, they received Jesus' teaching. It started out with repentance, and I want to get a little bit of that later. But I want to read us a comment about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This is from Adam Clark. Josephus mentions that the Pharisees existed 144 years before the Christian era. They had their appellation, which is identifying name or title. The name Pharisee was their identity, and it's taken from the word Parash, P-A-R-A-S-H. And that word means to separate. It means to separate, to divide out. And he goes on, he says, and were probably in their rise the most holy people among the Jews, having separated themselves from the national corruption with the design to restore and practice the pure worship of the Most High. That they were greatly degenerated in our Lord's time is sufficiently evident, but still we may learn from their external purity and exactness that their principles in the beginning were holy. Our Lord testifies that they had cleansed the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they were full of abomination. They still kept up the outward regulations of the institution, but they had utterly lost its spirit. And hypocrisy was the only substitute now in their power for that spirit of piety, which I suppose and not unreasonably characterized the origin of this sect. So they started out, it sounds like, on a good note. They separated themselves, and that's what Pharisee, the word Pharisee means, was separate from the national corruption, the sins that were around about them. Now I want to read you some history on the Sadducees. It said the Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, it's something how two different groups, they're so different, can align themselves for a cause and a purpose. Whereas if there wasn't a cause or purpose, then they would be at each other's throats. But they came together against Christ. Now the Sadducees had their origin and name from Zadok, a disciple of Antigonus of Socho, president of the Sanhedrin and teacher of the law in one of the great divinity schools in Jerusalem, about 264 years before the incarnation. So there's record of the Sadducees a little bit longer than what the Pharisees. But he goes on, this Antigonus, having often in his lectures informed his scholars that they should not serve God through expectations of reward, but through love and filial reverence only. Zadok, that was one of his pupils, inferred from this teaching that there were neither rewards nor punishments after this life, and by consequence that there was no resurrection of the dead, nor angel, nor spirit in the invisible world, and that man is to be rewarded or punished here for the good or evil he has done. They received only the five books of Moses and rejected all unwritten traditions. From every account we have of this sect, it plainly appears that they were a kind of, he uses the word mongrel, I had to look that up, that's unknown ancestry. They couldn't trace their genealogy like a lot of the Jews. But it says that they were professed materialists. And that makes sense, because if you don't believe there's a hereafter, if you don't believe in the spiritual world, then you're going to do everything you can here. if you believe that this is the only satisfaction you're going to have is here, then you're going to be investing very heavily in the material things of life in the side. So I thought that was very interesting, the history of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I want to notice now some of the teachings. I want to turn to Matthew, the 15th chapter. Matthew, the 15th chapter, and the first verse. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go to Matthew 3 first. I want to get the first encounter with John the Baptist in Matthew, the 3rd chapter. In Matthew, the 3rd chapter, in the 5th verse, it said, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan. It's talking about John the Baptist. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And I want to maybe stop there, but I want to turn in connection with these verses here. I want to turn to Matthew, the 21st chapter, and the 32nd verse. Let's read verse 31. Matthew 21, verse 31, it says, whether them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him the first. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Their lack of repentance, their lack of, was a stumbling block. That was John's message, was to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And then another verse we read, they came to John in the Jordan, they were baptized him, confessing their sins, repenting. It was the baptism of repentance. It was an acknowledgement that I had done wrong. They had never been baptized of John. They had never acknowledged that they had done wrong, that they had sin in their lives. They never came to that place of humility before God, and it kept them from entering into what God had for them. He said, you repented not afterward, that you might believe him. Their lack of repentance kept them from believing Christ, from believing the gospel of Christ. Now, I want to notice here, in verse 9 of the Matthew 3, John told them, and said, Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So that's like saying, that doesn't cut it. You know, God is able to raise these stones up, raise children up from Abraham from these stones. It, just because you're Abraham's seed in one place, Jesus noticed, he told them, he said, I know you're Abraham's seed. I know you're of the genealogy of Abraham, but you're not of the spirit of Abraham. You're not like Abraham. And he told him, he said, I told you the truth and you're going about to kill me. He said, Abraham didn't do that. You have another father that's working in your life. But here, that's what they were saying within themselves, that we have Abraham to our father. And also in the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, when Jesus was trying to share with them about spiritual bondage, and he that committed sin was a servant of sin, they said to him, we never be in bondage to any man. We're Abraham's seed. So this was a thought. This was something that was hindering them from entering into the kingdom of God. They felt justified because they were of the lineage of Abraham. That was something that stood in the way. Now I want to go to Matthew, the 15th chapter, where we started to go a little bit ago. Matthew 15. And the first verse, it says, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. So this was something they were teaching. This is something that they held. And these verses are kind of hard to understand, but what was happening was that they could give an offering, they could give to the temple instead of taking care of their parents in old age. What you would have been profited by me is given to God. In other words, I've given it to the temple. And this is one thing that they were holding to, this tradition. And I want to notice also, and he says, "And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." I believe this scripture is referring to we have a responsibility to take care of our aged parents, to honor them with our means, with however we can, our care. We have a responsibility to our aged parents to see about them. I remember in my garage years ago, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I was in there working with Kent. We were doing something. I don't know really how the conversation all got started and going, but I told him, I asked him, I said, "Son, you know I buy your clothes, right?" "Oh, yeah, Dad, you buy my clothes." "Son, you realize that I pay for the utilities that run the electric and keep the house warm in the winter and cool in the summer. I pay for those utilities. You realize that, don't you?" "And, oh, yeah, Dad, I know you do that." And I said, "Well, son, there may come a time when I can't do that anymore. And I'm going to have some help from you." And he looked at me and he said, I don't know, he's probably about 10. He said, "Dad, I'd never thought about that before." I remember his words so distinct. "Dad, I never thought about that before." Their traditions, and I want to talk about tradition just a little bit. It was their focus. The Pharisees were focused on tradition. Now, I'm not going to go down that rabbit path right now. There are good traditions, and there are traditions that can be in the way. I'll say that. The Scripture, like leaven, gives a positive aspect of leaven. It gives a negative aspect. The same is true with traditions. It speaks highly of traditions. It says keep the traditions. But it also has a negative side to it, too. And that's what we want to be careful of. But their focus was traditions. It wasn't the commandments of God. It wasn't the Word of God. And I want to get another text in Galatians. Let me see if I can find it here. Galatians, the first chapter in the 14th verse. This is a Paul's testimony. But Galatians 1 and 14, he says, "And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers." The traditions of my fathers. We know Saul, was a Pharisee. And here he said he profited above many of his equals because of his exceeding zealousness towards the traditions of my fathers. And I believe that was one of the focus of the Pharisees, was the traditions. They were more concerned about the traditions of the fathers or elders than they were about the commandments of God, the scriptures and the word of God. And that's what they were. They came to Christ and he said, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?" But Jesus automatically turned that around. He said, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" So their tradition was hindering them from the commandments of God. And I believe also we can read down verse 8. It says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Their true heart, their inner self, was way far away from God and the things of God. And he says, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So that's another, that's a thing that the, when he said beware of the leaven, it was the traditions that was their focus. That was their, it seemed like the focus of the Pharisees. "And they drew nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." I want to mention also a little bit about the Jesus talked about, he spoke this parable unto them which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And I didn't look that scripture up, but he mentioned about a publican going to the temple to pray and a Pharisee. And it said that they trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. It was pride. And I believe that's part of leaven. There's an undercurrent of selfishness, of pride. There's a lifting up. And that's what sometimes teachings and doctrines are critical, because sometimes there's in it those tendencies of, there can be in it those tendencies of leaven to lift us, to lift up, to above. And it said he despised others. Now when I think of those scriptures, Jesus mentioned a Pharisee and a publican went to the temple to pray. Do you think the Pharisee didn't have any sin? The publican saw his sin. The publican came to the point where he recognized that he needed God's forgiveness, that he needed God's help. The Pharisee never came to that point. He was trusting in his fasting. He was trusting in his tithing. He was trusting in the, you know, some of the things that he did, but it wasn't reaching the heart. It wasn't reaching his inner man. And that's what Jesus mentioned also. He said, "You make clean the outside. The outside you make clean, but the inside." And it's, but the despising of others, I feel like, is a danger It ought to be a yellow light warning for everyone. When we begin to despise people and despise those that doesn't come up to where we think we are. Despising, when we despise, that comes from pride. That comes from being lifted up. That comes from leaven. And there's doctrines and the teachings that the Pharisees had that promoted that. And that's why Jesus was warning them, beware, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And there's teachings that can do that. There's things that, the Pharisees started out, seemed like they, according to Adam Clark, had started out pretty good. But by the time Jesus got there, they had been way off. They missed the mark. And Jesus accused them another place. He said, you strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. You're so tight on this thing and yet you do this. Another thing Jesus mentioned, I wonder if I can find it. I don't know if I've... Matthew, the 23rd chapter, Jesus kind of gives some other things about the scribes and Pharisees, Sadducees. It says, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. So the Pharisees were not living to what they knew was right. They weren't living, he said, they say, and they do not. In other words, don't follow the manner of their living. You know, that's a very grievous error. And in verse 4, he goes on, it says, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, enlarge the border of their garments. They love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats. This is self-working. This is self-exaltation, the feeding of self. This is the leaven. And greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. And I believe this is referring to titles. I don't believe it's saying that you can't call your earthly father a father. It's talking about rabbi. These are titles that they were using. Adam Clark brings out that they had three different rabbi titles, and they basically meant one was rabbi, and the second one was greater rabbi, and the third one was greatest rabbi. And that was all in the Pharisees, and they taught, you know, them to, that's what they should address each other with. And when you read this scripture in context, I believe that's what it's saying, is not to lift man, it's not to exalt man. I believe that's the basic teaching here. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. I want to drop down to verse 16. It says, woe unto you, blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You know what came to my mind on that was misplaced values. They were valuing the gold that was on the temple, but they weren't valuing the temple. He said, ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. For whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? So these are things that the Pharisees, their values were in the wrong place. They were holding to their, they put too much stock in their ancestry, and their focus was more on traditions than it was upon the commandments of God and doing the will of God in their lives. Anyway, it just, these scriptures and verses challenged me, and I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be a Sadducee. I want to be a child of God. I want to trust the Lord. I want to live for Him. I want my heart to be in His heart. I want my life to be in His hand. But these things, these teachings and things that they held to was leaven that exalted self and that kept them. That kept them, their pride kept them from entering into the kingdom of God. And it's not only them, but pride has kept a lot of people. Pride has kept a lot of people from entering into the kingdom of God. An unwillingness to acknowledge my sin, my failure, my need, my lack. Those things can blind our spiritual eyes. And that's why I believe the Pharisees, you know, it wasn't a matter of intellect that they couldn't, that they didn't recognize Christ. It was a matter of the heart. The heart was the missing ingredient. They didn't have their heart into really living for God and serving God. Anyway, Lord, help us today. Help us to keep our hearts. The Scripture admonishes a different place to keep ourselves, to abide in Christ. To keep our hearts in the love of God. And that's a very important part of our responsibility, to keep our hearts humble and allow the Lord to live in and through us. And appreciate your attention this morning.